Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Hey everybody, it's Beer Nuts. We don't even know what the episode number, we don't care. It's the biggest bar night of the year, normally, but in a pandemic, bars really, crowded bars aren't really in vogue. But you know what? We're having a Beer Nuts house party, and we're calling it Drinksgiving, the night before Thanksgiving. We're recording this on Thanksgiving Eve, known as Drinksgiving, and we have no rules tonight. Just we got 6, 7, 8 Beer Nuts with us, and we're just going to bop around, and just like you would at a party, talk about what we're drinking, what we're doing this weekend, and anything you want. There's no rules, so don't have to introduce everybody. We're just going to go one by one. Just want to reiterate what our show is about is introducing more good people to more good beer. So crack open a cold one. Whatever you drink is fine with us because there's no rules tonight. And I wish I had thought about, well, I did think about it. I have a big bottle of No Rules by Perrin Brewing Company, but that's a big 18% 22-ounce bottle, and I'm not going to take that baby down by myself. Otherwise, I'll be hungover before the festivities even begin tomorrow. So, well, I'll probably still be hungover because I got another great beer. So, anyone, cheers, everybody. hope you're able to make the best of this Drinksgiving. I know we are here, so I'm going to just start off by introducing the beer I have. And it's a beer from Kalamazoo, and it's... I'm actually in here in just south of Tucson, Arizona, as many of you know, JR here. So this is a beer from Wax Wings Brewing Company in Kalamazoo, Michigan. First beer I've ever had from them. I've heard great things, but this one's called Reckon with Joy. It's a 9% double mash milk porter conditioned on green glass coffee, maple syrup, almonds, and coconut. This was bottled on July 23rd of 2020 this year. So I've already poured it into my glass. I'm not going to give a real detailed review here. I'll take a sip now. It's, you know, as you would know, it's jet black, maybe a slight little bit of a brown around the edge of the legs on the glass. The head dissipated, and you just got a very little thin, light brown head. So what's left of it? I can definitely smell the coconut in this, and I can taste the coconut in this because I've already cheated and started early. But let's take a sip and see what I'm finding here. You know, it's delicious. It's there's coconut on this, but it's not just overwhelming coconut. It's other flavors, you know, blending with it. I can taste the maple syrup. The almonds really come through on this. There's a little bit of coffee, a little bit of maple, but the almonds and the coconut are the... So it is. It's like kind of an almond joy, only not as sweet. Really, really a tasty brew. So if you see this, pretty much everything I've heard on Wax Wings, it's a great newer brewery. I don't know if anybody else at the party tonight can shine some more light on this brewery. One of you Michigan guys might have some info, but... I'll tell you what, man, it's a great beer to start this party out with. So cheers, everybody. Somebody else can comment if they have any Wax Wing comments, and somebody else tell us what you're drinking.
Definitely Wax Wings, certainly an up-and-comer here in Michigan. You know, they're just like a little, I don't even know if they're a little bit bigger than a nano brewery. They're in a little strip mall there on the northeast side of Kalamazoo, and yeah, they're producing some killer beers, and I've enjoyed probably more than my share. And picking up more on Friday, but they're doing some great stuff, and it sounds like a delicious brew here. I don't think I've had that one yet, but looking forward to what you say about it there, Jared.
Man, it's really good, man. I can't believe the almond in this. It reminds me of when I used to sell liquor. There's a spirit called Cream de Noia, which is usually a mixer. It's a, you know, kind of a liqueur that you put in various drinks. But the almond really comes through here. I'm surprised. Almond, coconut, maple syrup, coffee. What's not to like about that, man? It's delicious. Well, thanks for chiming, Greg. So Greg in Dearborn, might as well pass it on to you. What are you drinking?
All right. Hey, I'm happy to do that. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well, and you're going to have a nice, delicious meal tomorrow to celebrate the holiday. So my beer that I brought along here is freshly picked up from Holmes Brewery this afternoon. This is their Deep Depths, their newest version of Deep Depths. This is their cranberry, boysenberry, raspberry, marshmallow, fruited, heavily fruited sour. And a 16-ounce can. It was canned about 6 days ago, but poured in my new Holmes glass here. She is a thick, heavy, fruited smoothie. She is just fruited puree, if I can learn how to talk here. Just dark ruby red color here. A lot of fruit grabbing the glass here. And just absolutely gorgeous. First smell, man, she is just, you know, that cranberry and boysenberry, just, you know, heavily, you know, dark, acidic berry, you know, a little sweet, a little tart, catching you right off the bat. Just smells really, really good. That's a cranberry smoothie dessert right there. That's got a lot of tartness to it, but that marshmallow adds a nice sweet, you know, creaminess to it on the backside. And this is like their fourth version of Deep Depths, and I've not had a bad one yet. So, of course, it's coming from Holmes, and Holmes, in my opinion, is probably one of the best, you know, not necessarily, you know, larger breweries in the state of Michigan, but at least one that just killing it every time they put out a beer. So they certainly don't put a bad one out there. So, and that's a good thing. But, yeah, great beer. Fantastic. Wish you guys were all here to enjoy it. But I wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. And, I miss, you know, there's a lot of things I don't miss about Michigan, namely the roads and perhaps the gray skies and winter weather. But I certainly do miss great breweries there, and many of them, and including Holmes, which was one that I really enjoyed going to in Ann Arbor. So, I can't wait till this pandemic over so Steve V and I can finally attend one of the Michigan Brewers Guild festivals with all of you.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll make it happen. We'll get there. You know, we got to get through this pandemic first. And, you know, I was supposed to be traveling to see my dad in Louisiana, but about a week ago, we canceled our flights. There's just not, that virus just isn't leaving us right away. So, anyway, let's quit talking about COVID and move on to greener pastures. How about Steve?
Yeah, I'll go next.
LA, brother.
All right, so I'm Sean. I'm up in Houghton, Michigan. We've got a lot of snow around right now, so pretty certain we're getting ready for Christmas instead of Thanksgiving. But right now I'm drinking from Griffin Claw Brewing. It's a Flying Buffalo Barrel Aged Spice Strong Ale from 2018. We found it at, what's it, Mug and Jug?
Beverage Warehouse.
Beverage Warehouse. Last bottle they had just a couple days ago. Tastes a lot like a gingerbread or a ginger snap cookie. Lots of nutmeg, clove, cinnamon, a little bit boozy. Doesn't necessarily smell so much spiced, as it does just, what do they age this in? Bourbon?
Yeah, it's a barrel age. You can definitely, in the smell, you definitely get the bourbon.
A little bit of the spice, but it's very overwhelmingly, tastes like the spices. Not so much of the base beer behind it there.
Yeah, it is. This is John Golden from Royal Oak. Sean is the boy. We're kind of sharing beers as we're doing this, and I will say, yeah, this is it's predominantly the spice takes over the flavor. You get a little bit of boozy, but it's like, you know, cinnamon, clove, nutmeg. Base beer is kind of lost in behind there. You know, you can definitely tell it's a dark beer. It's malty, but not too much of the original beer left. It's just kind of like drinking a spiced beer.
Drinking a ginger snap.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of chocolate in there, too, but not a bad beer. I've had better versions of the Griffin Claw Flying Buffalo, but they make, you know, different ones every year. So
like, what, at least six different ones every year.
Yeah, they made six different variations this year, of which I got a mixed six pack, which is sitting down in the basement, waiting for me to break down and actually open it up and drink them all at once.
My goodness. Good night to you.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you mean good night? I can start in the morning.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
I guess, right?
That's what we do up in Houghton all the time.
Well, what else is there to know?
Not much of anything. We've got a whole week-long winter carnival dedicated to just drinking every year. Right at the start of February.
Oh, that's fun. Dang.
And that when that ends, they have the rest of February dedicated to drinking.
And then the rest of the year after that.
March, they dedicate that to drinking. And April to, what, drinking?
Yeah, I think.
Well,
the best part of the leap year is we get an extra day to drink. So that's a holiday up there.
There you go.
Well, here, that's everybody. Toast. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Cheers to drinking all the time in the UP. All right.
Yeah.
And welcome, Sean.
Yes.
Join us on future episodes.
We'll see.
Always welcome, because you're now officially a beer nut. All right. Who else wants to go? Chris, hey, can we get some music queued up or something, man? Let's. We need a DJ here.
Sure. What do we want to hear? Any requests?
Anything. I think John Golden had a request, didn't he? Alice's Restaurant.
Isn't that song like a half hour long?
It is.
Yeah. Alice's Restaurant.
1836.
God, that.
Although that's more talking than it is music, so I don't know if it'll be good. We might not.
Yeah, I think Dugout can probably give you a better musical selection. He's the musician of this group.
Just got like the abridged 20-minute version. He did literally analysis on.
Yeah, play some Rush, Chris.
There we go.
Like YYZ or something.
There, yes. That is a great suggestion. And it's like 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it's an all instrumental.
I'm appalled it is not one of Rush's top five tunes. Although, they have their radio.
Little trivia about that song is who knows what YYZ actually means.
It's the Morse code.
It's the airport code.
For Toronto, their hometown.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm not sure. You know, I mean, like DTW is, you know, Detroit West. I'm not sure how for Toronto they get YYZ out of that, but they actually don't call it YYZ, they call it YYZ. I've heard actually Geddy Lee talk about it, and they say Z.
Because Z is Z in French. That's the only background I can give on why that is.
Yep.
Isn't that also like military alphabet?
All right.
You can go really obscure. Go with Pink Floyd's "Several Species of Small Furry Animals Gathered Together in a Cave and Grooving with a Pig."
Yeah, Uma Guma.
John Golden, if DTW is for Detroit West, then DTE is the power company that robs us.
Right.
That's actually Detroit Wayne, but that's, you know.
Yeah.
Is it Wayne? Okay. I thought it was West. What do I know?
So it's one of the two.
It's Wayne. It's okay.
Where the X and CMX came from.
I'd rather go to DTW than DTE. Very few pleasant experiences with DTE, the power company.
Yeah. Why don't we go out to LAX? Steve V, what are you drinking?
Sounds like a plan. I like that. So tonight, hello everybody, and happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody has a great time tomorrow and get some relax and some great food. I happen to be visiting my mom, and they're baking pies already. So not only do I having some good beer, but I'm also getting the delicious smell of these pies cooking in the
oven.
Totally
jealous right now. My goodness.
So what better than to go with some pumpkin pie than a pumpkin spice Imperial Stout from our great friends at Great Divide. I know JR is really excited about this one, but so from Great Divide, It's going to be a 9.5% alcohol. And the description of it is, let's see what they got in here. Just a bunch of brew with seasonal spices and unique flavor of coffee from their friends at Pablo Coffee. Mm-hmm. And it says here it pairs perfectly with hay rides, pumpkin carvings, and leaf peeping. And they said it pairs well with Halloween candy. So I poured some out. Oh, smells delicious. I smell spice, pumpkin, coffee. Smells like a delicious German bakery. So when I poured this, it had a nice little head, nice brown head that subsided, left a little bit. Nice little trails on the glass. Very good. Nice. The cinnamon's really, really strong. You get that. I gave some to my sons as they sat here playing their Nintendo Switch on the TV. And one of them described it as burnt
popcorn.
Burnt popcorn. But he doesn't know any better, so I'm going to ignore him. I think what he's really tasting is the coffee. The coffee really is there. You don't get that bitter tasteness from the bitter taste from the coffee, but the sweetness and the cinnamon is really, really strong. It's really good. Like I said, I wish I would have another can because this would probably go good with my pumpkin pie tomorrow and my apple pie and the pecan pie and the cherry pie that I'll probably be eating tomorrow. So, like I said, cheers to everybody. Hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, pumpkin spice, not really my jam, but I'd much rather take a flyer on that than any peanut butter beer in existence. So we'll take your word for it. That's a pretty good beer, and God, those pies sound delicious. We do have a pecan pie here at our house, so that'll be the only pie served, and that's my favorite pie, so I'm fine with that.
It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's restaurant was never the name of a restaurant. That was always just the name of this song. Well, that's probably why I still call this song Alice's Restaurant.
Man, I hope you're kidding with that stuff. You can get anything
from Alice's restaurant. You can't get I would it. Never kid about anything.
Oh.
Oh, wait, yes, I would. I was going to say, that's one of the biggest lies I've heard all year.
You want anybody to listen to this show?
All right, as soon as my hands are free again, I'll turn it off.
I thought Joe Spaghetti Lee.
I have.
Set the guitar bell.
All right, Doug, can you put an end to this madness and review your beer? And
yeah, just mute that, please. Thank you.
I think Doug preferred Rush, and I second that.
All right. So this is Doug out. I'm in Clawson, Michigan. Supposed to be out in Grand Rapids this week, but had to put things in a perspective and say not a good time to travel. So there'll be other years for that. And so I am drinking from Surly Brewing Company out of the Twin Cities of Minnesota. This is called 14. And I'm assuming it's a 14th anniversary ale or something like that. It's a barley wine, and it's aged in Parker Heritage Wheat Whiskey Barrels. It clocks in at 11%, and it pours this really beautiful gold color, almost a lot lighter than most barley wines typically are. It's got some nice clarity to it. I mean, I get this beautiful whiskey nose to it. The nose is incredible on it. So, not a lot of head on this one. Little to no lacing at all. And yeah, it's got
Boy, this one's got a really nice kick to it. The you know, you get some of the caramel and toffee notes, but it's pretty predominantly a Parker barrel, which to me is not a bad thing. I think John Golden and I had some from Transient. It was called Parker. And pretty much the same thing. I think it's when you use that Parker barrel that it really takes over on the beer itself. I'd say this is pretty awesome beer, man. Jeez. I'm glad I got it. It comes in a 16-ounce can in a box. So when I saw it on the shelf, I was like, wow, that looks a little strange. And I thought it was like a little bottle in there. And so when I got home and opened up, I saw it was a can. And I was like, part of me is like, I'm happy for cans. But another part of me says that, you know, with beer like this, if you want to age it, it's not going to age well in a can. It's just not. Not like glass. You're going to get oxidation. And so, I mean, I was buying it to drink. So no problem with this one getting oxidized at all. But I think some of these breweries that are doing cans should maybe rethink that with some of these bigger beers. I mean, I had some from Oddside yesterday that really did need to age. And it just, I wasn't going to do it in a can. I mean, I'm just not. I don't know if anybody else has thoughts on that, but that's my thoughts.
What brewery is this again?
This is Surly.
Ah, that's right.
They're newer to Michigan. They've been around a while, but they make some really great beers. And generally, IPAs are their strong suit. But it's nice to get something from them that's not IPA that's done like this. It's really, really done well.
You used to always get a Surly on tap when I'd have a layover at MSP.
Yeah, they're the big Minneapolis homebrew.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they just came into Michigan this year, so 2020. Welcome to 2020.
It took this long to get Surly into Michigan? It's like
it
two states
sure
over.
Did, yeah. Yeah.
Or it might have been late last year, but regardless, it's been pretty recent, that's for sure.
We got Surly in Arizona now, too. We got it about 6 months ago. And I agree with you, Doug. If you're going to age something, I mean, I got a lot of great beers in cans that you should be able to age. And I'm probably going to age some of them, but I just get a feeling that time in the can isn't nearly as valuable as time in the bottle. I think you're onto something there. So anyway, great beer. And
yeah, I don't know. Have you had this before? It was supposed last year's would be 13.
I have not had this one. I have had the Curly Darkness, and I think there's a barrel aged series. Those were available in my bottle shop. I passed on them. They're pricey, but I know they're fantastic beers. I've had them in the past. But, yeah, I'll be looking for more Surly. Of course, Todd the Axeman is one of their staples that we all enjoy. It's good to have those beers now.
It's not Todd the Axeman anymore.
Oh, what is it now?
It's just Axeman. They removed Todd because Todd doesn't work there anymore.
Ah, okay. I did not know that. That's a great bit of information to
have. Yeah, that was a big blow up. It's been a while now, and he went over to he ended up over at Three Floyds. I don't know if he's still there, but yeah, they had a blow up with the owner and with Todd the brewer, and so generally the owners usually win because they own it.
That's for sure.
But yeah, I don't know I know it was called Todd the Axeman after he left. So, but I think it's a recent development where you just see it called the Axeman. Yeah.
That's it. Just sounds petty. You know what? Just leave the name. Who cares? But you know, owners are going to do what owners are going to do. Owner's going to own it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
Just want to propose a toast to everybody. I had a nice phone call. Call Uncle Pete today to wish him a happy Thanksgiving. He's got a couple family members affected by the COVID crisis, and just wanted to let him know we were thinking of him. So everybody keep him in your thoughts and prayers. He's doing fine, but everybody, he's got some family members recovering. Tough time of year, but he was in pretty good spirits. I talked to him. He's making the best of things, and we just wanted him to know we're thinking of him. So cheers, Uncle Pete. And at some point, he should be, he'll be back with us some point, when things improve. So
cheers to Uncle Pete.
All right, well, I will lift a glass of another beer that we have here. This is another bourbon barrel beer, which is made by Central Waters Brewing Company. It's their 2018 Cassian Sunset. Brewer's Reserve.
That's a great beer.
Yes, this is a stout aged in used oak bourbon barrels with coffee, vanilla beans, and cinnamon added. And this is just fantastic. This is kind of what I was hoping that Griffin Claw was going to be. This has got all the flavors, but it's just got this really, really great beer in behind it. It's got lovely roasted coffee flavors. Let me take another sip. Oh yeah, the bourbon is nice. Kind of a little boozy, not too much, but chocolate, roasty, coffee, very malty, sweet, excellent beer. Fortunately, this again was the last one in the store, so
I thought they had multiple of these. I think at least one or two more.
Well, the boy thinks they had more, so we might have to go back. But that dynamite beer, and I will lift this glass to Uncle Pete and hope he and his family members all get better and have a good holiday.
Yeah, they had those four packs at Holiday Market for $5 of those, which is really a fantastic deal.
Were they, do you know what vintage they were?
They were 18.
Really?
Yep. But there wasn't it's much left there. It was kind of picked over when I was there the other day. So, and I know a couple people had some gushers coming out of those $5 four packs. So I don't know if it's worth it or not. That's a phenomenal beer. I've been to that brewery before. Actually, in their infancy, I used to go there and get growlers. I used to vacation outside of Stevens Point, and they were just up the road in Amherst. And they had a little shack that was their brew house, and it had old cheese-making equipment, open fermenters in it. And they were putting out some really fantastic beer. And nobody knew of them then. They're huge now. Not huge, but they're big. For a Wisconsin brewery, but man, they do some great stuff. If you ever get a chance, their annual beers are numbered, just like this Surly one is 14, so every year they'll do a number 16, 17, 18. I'm not sure what year they're up to now, probably 20 or 21. I've got a friend of mine that lives in Wisconsin. I haven't seen him for a while, but he hangs on to every year for me, so I should get a nice little haul from him the next time I see him.
They had this up to 19 on Untappd.
Really good beer, though, and I think this is, 11+%. I think it's like 11.7 or something like that.
Yeah, it's at 11.7 on Untappd.
So, really good beer.
Yeah.
All right, who is next?
I just looked up the Cassian Sunset on my Untappd, and I gave it a 4.5. I think it's a 4.32. I remember having that and thinking, boy, I wish I had more of it. Because I think I only got like one bottle of it. But, boy, it was a treat. So that's good stuff. That's good stuff. You know what? My beer is empty. So I'm kind of going backwards here. I'm going from a heavy porter to a triple IPA. This is actually going from 9% to 10%. So I'm going to go ahead and pop this open. This is a Tombstone Brewing collaboration with one of their
favorite retailers in the Tucson area called Caps and Corks. I like what they do. They not only do collabs with other breweries, they do them with some of their retailer partners. And this one is called The Pit Triple IPA. It's 10% alcohol. I'm looking in here. I don't see anything that says what kind of hops they have, but I'm just going to open this thing up. So 16-ounce can. Pretty cool brown-looking label on this thing. The Pit. I'm going to look this up because I think this... Okay, so it's to celebrate the second anniversary of Caps and Corks. A great bottle shop here in the Tucson area. It's on the other side of town from me, so I don't get there as often as I do my other favorite, which is Tap and Bottle. And then there's my other favorite called Arizona Beer House. Got some great bottle shops here in town. But I just poured this this triple IPA in the pit. It pours. It's a nice golden yellow. It's hazy, but not as hazy as some of theirs, but it is hazy. It's more orange than yellow. It's got a really nice looking solid one finger head of snow white head that's not going away. And oh my gosh, the aroma on this is amazing. I'm getting like orange, pineapple, mango, citrus fruits. And I just can't wait to taste this. So it's not as sweet and hazy. It's more fruit juicy. It's just really, really delightful. It's, you know, all those orange, tangerine, pineapple, mango, all that's in there. It's all like a really nice juicy IPA here. Again, not as pronounced the haze as some of theirs. It is very hazy, but it's, again, if you look at it, it almost looks like a glass of tangerine orange juice. It's and I'm getting some pineapple and mango in it, too. It's just a really nice juice bomb. Gosh, I wish I had helped to look this up. But normally I would start with the IPAs and then move into the dark stuff. It's kind of weird that I did this backwards, but who cares? Like I said, there's no rules tonight. And I just picked out something that I thought, yeah, I want to drink that. And that's what we should do, right? That's what a party's about. So... The Pit Triple IPA, Tombstone Brewing, continues to just, man, they just amaze me. I don't think I've ever had a single beer that I didn't really, really enjoy thoroughly. So keep doing what you're doing, Matt and Weedy, down in Tombstone. And happy to report they have a second brewery in Phoenix and a third tap room on the way in Sierra Vista. So for those of you in Southern Arizona, which... you know, look them up and visit those tap rooms. All right, who's up next? Anybody? Who's thirsty? Stay thirsty, my friends. Come on.
I think everybody's gone.
Everybody's gone? Gone, gone? I see 7 of 7 in the call.
No, I mean, I think everybody has said their
anybody
beer.
Okay. All right. If nobody's going to review any more beers, before we move on and head to Mexico City... I know we got to have some homebrew news or maybe some brewery news, some beer industry news, anything, or we just don't want to talk about the news at a party.
I can give you some homebrew news, at least for my own homebrew, the Golden Bozo Brewery. This past Saturday, brewed two batches of beer. One was my annual edition of the Winter Carnival, named after the Winter Carnival at Michigan Tech, which we spoke about earlier, which is a winter spiced beer. It has honey and molasses and cinnamon, cloves,
ginger,
and spruce tips in it. And it's going to, well, according to the OG, it's going to kick in at around 13%, depending on where it actually finishes, but... Definitely a nice high gravity offering I'm going to have come about Christmas time. And then since I had to pay basically about as much for shipping as I did for the actual spruce tips, I got a larger bag of spruce tips and also made a spruce IPA, which is going to come in around 7%. And both those beers are sitting in the basement in the fermenters, and should be couple more days. They should be pretty much done fermenting, but I'll let them sit in there for at least for another week on the yeast cake and really clean up nice and well and get them kegged and bottled as long as I can bottle them before I drink it everything off the keg. That's my biggest challenge.
And do that with the Winter Carnival at least.
Yeah, and I'm also right now I'm drinking a beer that Dugout and I just got kegged. When did we do this, Doug? About a week and a half ago, or was that last weekend? I guess it's a Belgian Golden Strong that we made back in, I'm gonna say, in the spring. And Dugout, myself, and actually the president of the KGB, DJ, each made 5 gallons from the same recipe and fermented them and then threw them in a Valentine's used gin barrel. And it sat there all summer and most of a good part of the fall, and we just pulled it out of the barrel, I think it was last Sunday. And it's now on tap in the basement, and it's freaking awesome. It's got a nice gin flavor to it, but there's also that Belgian Golden Strong flavor to it. You know, it's got that Belgian-y kind of yeasty flavor. It's got a nice hop character to it. It's not too, it's, you know, predominantly hop leaning versus malty. It's a nice kind of a yellow to gold sort of color, and been enjoying that the last few days, and it's just dynamite beer. Doug, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think the botanicals in it are fantastic. It spent, I'd say, about a little bit over 2 months on the barrel, and before we did the tasting on it, and the first tasting was like, "Wow, this needs to go. This needs to get out of this barrel right now." It's got some really nice citrus aspects to it, and as well, you still the base beer is still there. It's not buried into the gin barrel, which could easily happen. And the fact that it came out without any kind of infection or anything like that on a second use of a barrel, that was my first time cleaning a barrel for a second use. And it didn't go without problems as far as getting it out of the barrel into the kegs. I burned up a pump, and I might have done that, burned that pump up beforehand, so it probably wasn't on there. So we ended up just having to lift this thing and then siphon it off, and took a lot longer than we anticipated, but it's drinking fantastic. I mean, it's really a phenomenal beer. Mine's starting to clear up a little bit. The carbonation in it is going well. The bubbles are really small and tiny, and you know, I'm glad we did the extra aging before we put it in the barrel. Some of that stuff sat around for 3 months before it even went into the barrel. It had secondary fermentation inside of one of the kegs, so there was definitely some CO2 going into there, and I think that kind of helped with the aging process as well.
That just sounds like a beer I would die to try. I love gin, and that I didn't really hear. What is the contribution from the gin? Would that be the botanicals?
Yeah, definitely. And it's the Valentine's gin is more of a kind of like a Bombay Sapphire type of, you know, botanicals, yeah, versus a Tanqueray or, you know, typical London dry gin, which is, you know, heavy on the juniper. This has got all kinds of, I taste lavender in there, and like Doug mentioned, there's some citrus flavors in there. There's a little bit of pine nuts, and you know, it's more floral than just, you know, your typical Tanqueray juniper bomb kind of stuff. It's really complex. I think every time I taste it, I can probably pick out a different flavor or a new flavor.
Yeah, it depends on the warmth of the beer. That, you know, if you let it sit out and warm up a little bit, you get some different flavors off it as well. It's very complex. I mean, you might try it one time and you pick up something completely different on the next time you're trying it.
Well, it sounds delicious. I wish I could enjoy it with you guys.
I'll be bottling some of this up, JR, so...
send me a bottle, please. Put it in my coupon. And I got a box heading north to a mutual friend dugout, so that pistachio beer will be coming with it, too, so...
Okay.
So, also wanted to just mention that I've been, I guess, talking about brewing for a while. It's time to stop talking and start ordering. I decided to wait till Black Friday to order my brew system. There are some really good deals coming up. I'm down to two different systems, either an Anvil or a Vessi. A Vessi is a kind of like a kegerator that you can clarify and serve your beer out of. Next time we have a show, I will have something either on order or having been delivered by now. So expect me to have a home brew and be able to talk about it by the end of this year. I'm itching to get back into the hobby. This pandemic leaves me with a kind of a void with, you know, really want to have get back into brewing. And aside of that, I wanted to go back to the pit that I'm drinking because it's so tasty. I looked it up on Untapped. It's got a 4.45 rating. That's not my rating. That's all of the 403 ratings that it has received. So that tells you how good this stuff is. It says, this smooth and drinkable triple IPA collaboration with Caps and Court features 100% Citra hops in the Whirlpool and a massive dry hop of Citra, Amarillo, and Strata, resulting in a hazy, citrusy, and tropical juice bomb. So there you have it.
What size of setup is it?
What's that?
What size of setup is it? How many barrels? Just like a 10-gallon or?
Oh, the brew system? Yeah, that'll be like a 8-gallon, so okay. 4 or 5-gallon batches.
I thought maybe you were talking about getting some gigantic homebrew setup, and I was like, oh, I'll get
you. I am going to get a homebrew setup. It'll be 8 to 10 gallons, basically to brew a 5-gallon batch.
Awesome. Congrats.
So that's about it for me. I'm on my, I had a 9%er, now I'm on a 10%er. I'm starting to feel pretty in the Thanksgiving holiday spirit. Certainly going to need some strong beers tomorrow to get through the Lions-Houston game. And then you got a Washington-Dallas game. So probably not great football tomorrow, but of course the Ravens and the Steelers were postponed and moved to Sunday due to COVID. So thanks again, COVID, for another punch in the mouth. But you know what? God bless everybody impacted by this this pandemic and this virus. And I know I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but I just want to wish everybody well and all your families you know, a healthy and safe holiday. I know for me, I'll be celebrating with my family via Zoom. That's the best we have. Stay positive, everybody. I mean, there's still good beer to be drank, and we'll get through this. And Steve V and I will be in Michigan one way or another as soon as possible to join everybody for that Michigan Brewers Guild Fest in either Ipsy or East Park. So cheers, everybody. Everybody drink up.
Is it time to go to Mexico?
Anybody have any final thoughts before we head to Mexico City?
Well, instead of waiting for a beer fest, we should just go to John's and Doug's and just partake in all the stuff that they have. I mean, everything sounds delicious over there.
I'm sure that if we go to the beer fest, part of that will be a session there.
Yeah, we'll have plenty.
You have to pregame and postgame. You can't just go to the beer fest.
The name of Doug's brewery is Keebler's Kloss and Awesome because Keebler is Doug's Basset Hound, and he always welcomes all of us. So that will be a part of the festivities, Steve. We can assure you of that. Well, and I'm sure if Steve knows we're coming, he'll brew a couple extra batches, or if Dugout will brew a couple extra batches.
I'm sure John Golden will too. So thanks for joining us, Sean. Cheers to you.
Of course.
Final cheers. Maybe everybody can go around the horn and tell us what you're thankful for, and we can head to Mexico City. And
all right, well, I'll start. I'm thankful for you, person on the other side of the speakers, person who is listening. You're the reason we do this. If you didn't download, if you didn't listen, there'd be no point for us to doing this. So if you're a new listener, if you're an old listener, it doesn't matter. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you.
Anybody else? All right, I'll call people out. Greg.
What am I thankful? I'm thankful for...
It's like we're in school.
Same as Chris. Same, you know, everybody listening in, I'm thankful for everybody here for the Beer Nuts and thankful for healthy family and friends and you know, many years of this to happen in the future for sure. So thankful for everything.
Doug out.
Just you know, thankful for family and friends and you know, more than recently just for health, you know. It's something you don't think about all the time until you see a lot of stuff around you that's going haywire. And so, yeah, thankful for those things, family, friends, and health.
Amen. I'm going to chime in off that. I lost my mother this year. I lost one of my best friends, not to the virus, but to other illnesses. And I can tell you that my friend Tom Hansen, who passed away a few months ago, what he told me every day is when he woke up, he goes, "Is one of the last things he said to me, and the last day I got to spend some time with him, he, quote, every day is a gift." So everybody remember that. Every day is a gift. Be thankful for every day that you wake up, and thankful for every beer you have, and thankful for every friend and family member you have, because, you know, you never know. You just never know when, you know, it could be the last day. And so I'm thankful for every day. And I'll do another cheers to my buddy Tom Hansen. Rest in peace, brother. Cheers. All right, well, that's way too serious for a beer podcast. So one more cheers. Cheers, everybody. Have a great holiday. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another great episode introducing more good people, more good beers. So as they say in old Mexico City,
A-M-F. Gobble, gobble.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.